Favorite Christmas songs. The title of the message you can see there in your bulletin, Christmas is the promise of His coming again. You know, children look forward to Christmas most of the year, especially grandchildren, if grandma and grandpa are around, because they know they're a soft touch for whatever they might want. Maybe. But what happens when Christmas is over? And a lot of folks don't realize how much the Bible talks about one event. Old and New Testament. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus, talking to His disciples, said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In those three verses are three very, very important promises. Not promises to somebody else, but promises to us, you and I. Do you see where it says, "I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also"? Jesus made these promises on His way to the Garden of Gethsemane because He knew He was getting ready to fulfill His task on earth. Christmas began at our Savior's birth, and it ends when He comes again for His church. When the real church is gone, so is Christmas. Think about that. The world doesn't realize that the second coming is the fulfillment of Christmas. It's always been the plan of God to restore everything to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. And that event is going to happen eventually. For 1,000 years, we will live and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ after the tribulation period is over. And before that tribulation period, these promises that we are looking at in John 14, 1 through 3 will be fulfilled. They'll come before the tribulation. The rapture, you won't find that word in the Bible anywhere, but the rapture is where Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. Not on the earth, but He comes back in the clouds, as was promised, to receive His church up, to meet Him in the air. And Paul says, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." That's what Christmas should remind us about. On this Christmas Eve, I would like for us to think about the second coming of Jesus for His church. You know, if this is the year that He returns, none of us will see another Christmas. And if this were to be our last Christmas, how do we want to celebrate that? How do we want to observe that? That's what I'd like us to think about this morning. But before we get into it, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we are so grateful for your word, for your Holy Spirit who helps us to understand your word. And Father, we are so grateful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who died, who rose again, and who has promised that he will come again for each of us. May this be a special Christmas for all of us as we anticipate his coming again. May your will be done in each of our lives. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. May he be glorified. And Father, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for all that you are doing and all that you are going to do in this service. Amen. John 14:3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a thought. That this could be our last Christmas. Not because we're going to depart this life in death, but perhaps because of all that's going on in this world, perhaps God is ready to let Jesus come back to take his church home. It's really not so strange that we would think about this being our last Christmas season, because that's what two angels told the disciples as they stood out there on that day. We read about it in the book of Acts. We've been reading, studying Acts on Wednesday nights. But in the first chapter, around verse 8 and 9, as the disciples stood there, Jesus had challenged them to work for him, to perform his mission that he was giving them for life. And then as they stood there, they saw him received up, and a cloud received him. And in Acts 1, 9 through 11, it tells us this. "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" And I would like for us to take a little time this Christmas Eve morning. That seems a strange term, this Christmas Eve morning, to think about what God has given us in his holy word. As we consider the New Testament, it begins with four Gospels which tell about the life and death of Jesus Christ. The Gospels end with the book of Acts, which is a history of the early church. And then we have the promise of the angels that he's coming again. If this were the only place in the Bible where we had this, we have two witnesses, we have all the disciples that lived there at that time. They all saw that. They all heard that promise. Yes, we've waited 2,000 years for that promise to be fulfilled. Why shouldn't he fulfill it in the near future? Jesus himself told us that we are coming again, that he is coming again. And Paul confirms it. He confirms many of the promises in several of his writings. In John 14:3, which we read just a minute ago, he makes this promise, "I will come again and take you unto myself." Paul confirms the promise in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, when Paul wrote, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." People, that's a promise. I know we've got some folks traveling this Christmas season. We're all going to be traveling one day. And we won't need a car to do it. We have to remember that Paul spent the better part of 3 years with Jesus in the Arabian desert, learning from him before he became an apostle. And I'm sure that Jesus discussed with him what his plans were for the world and for his church, because Paul seemed to have so much knowledge that the Holy Spirit gave him as he wrote so much of the New Testament, the epistles. Jesus understood that as men, we would not understand what he was promising. And if we did understand, we would lose sight as time went by. And we got all tangled up with life and the things that go on around us. So he let Paul write about some of these things as a reminder to us. We should be reading our Bible every day. And if we are reading through the Bible once a year, we're reading about many of these promises that Paul confirms that Jesus made in John the 14th chapter, and Paul confirms in other places. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, verse 3, the end of the verse, he said, "That where I am, that ye may be also." That's a promise, people. He wants us to be with him. And we are going to be with him. And so Paul once again confirmed this promise with this statement in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Wow, what a promise. Eternity with Jesus Christ. Eternity with our Savior. So you see, one verse can have so many different meanings. Have you ever read through the Bible and read through the Bible dozens of times? And suddenly, as you're reading through the Bible, God opens your eyes and you see something new. Something that you've never seen before, though you've read it over and over and over. And that's the Holy Spirit working through his word. And that is sort of what some of Paul's writings are all about, is that God is using him and used him as he was writing to open our eyes. This is a time when we celebrate Christmas. And we celebrate the birth of our Lord. And as Christians, we understand that's what it's really all about. And yet, it's also a time when we need to consider the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is a very important part of the ministry that began in Bethlehem in a manger. And it is still going on today. R.A. Torrey states that the second coming of Christ is mentioned, you ready? 318 times in the New Testament. That's one out of every 25 verses. It's not something that God's not preparing us for. After all, there's only 266 chapters in the New Testament. And 318 times the second coming of Christ is mentioned. If I read my Bible right, the birth of Jesus is only mentioned twice. But his second coming is mentioned 318 times. Now, I love to sing Christmas carols because they glorify the Savior. But as I've gotten older, Christmas has changed. It's no longer about getting and giving. It's about life and living in the anticipation of Jesus Christ coming back. And every year, as it passes, and we come to another Christmas, I think about certain people that I know, and you probably do the same, people that I love, people that I would love to see receive Jesus Christ as Savior. So as we are thinking about this, for the young of heart, Christmas exerts a pressure of going out and getting something that you don't know whether the person will ever use or need or want. As we begin maturing, we realize that the thing we have to share with them is not some Christmas gift, but the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the promise of Christ's second coming becomes more precious as the years pass. For some of us, we may experience this thing we call death. But I believe for most of us, we will see his coming in the clouds for his church. There's a lot of reasons that we should be considering the second coming of Christ at Christmas time. One reason is that the coming of Christ is supposed to be a comfort to all of those who are sorrowing. Titus 2, 11 through 13 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For we know that when Jesus returns, he will bring all of those who have gone on before us with him." What a time of uniting. Another reason that we should consider the coming of Jesus is that it involves the last prayer in the Bible. Look at Revelation 22:20, last page of the body of the New Testament. John is writing this. John has written a whole book at the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 22:20, he says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." That's Jesus. "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That's John. That's the last prayer in the Bible. He is praying that Jesus Christ will come. Of all the things that the world hates the Christian for, it's the teaching of the second coming of Christ. You realize that? That was the thing that got me saved. I was sitting in a service that night, November 5th, 1961, and the man was preaching about the second coming of Christ, and as a Catholic, I was sitting there knowing that if he did come, I'd be left behind. Because I wasn't saved. I wasn't born again. I still had sin in my heart. And that scared me enough that I yielded that night. Matthew 24, 44 through 46 says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." And folks, each one of us are the servant of God this morning. At least we should be. The last thing that the world wants is to have Jesus return, because they're not ready. His first advent caused them enough problems. The last thing the devil wants is to have Jesus return, because he knows that his time is short at that point. It will not be long before the prophecy in Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled. He knows the time is getting short. We are supposed to be looking for his return because we have been commanded to do so. In Hebrews 9:27 through 28, and it says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and salvation." The day is coming, folks, when Christ is going to appear. How will the event take place? Paul tells us in Thessalonians 4. We've read a couple of the verses. We read verse 16 and 17, but I'm going to go ahead and read the whole passage. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Christ is coming again. He's going to bring with him all of those who have gone on before us. Now, we're not talking at this point about his coming to earth to reign. That's going to be a different coming. We're talking about his coming back for his church. And this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, no question in your mind that you have been born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God is living in your heart, then you will be a part of that event when he comes back for his church. But if this morning you are sitting here and you have never been born again, you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Holy Spirit living in your heart, then you will not be caught up together with the rest of us. Keep that in mind and get it settled. Go to God. Ask him to forgive your sins. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead on what we call that Easter morning. Believe that he is coming again. Thou shalt be saved. The birth of Jesus and being laid in that manger wrapped in swaddling clothes was just the beginning. Looking back at the beginning means we celebrate Christmas. But there's also a looking ahead, and that involves calling out his church. from the world that we live in. We call it the rapture. It's not a scriptural word, but it describes exactly what is going to happen to the saved people. And this event itself, calling out of the church, is not the end. There's much more. The coming of Jesus to earth has three distinct parts. He came as a babe, as a baby. He grew up. He died. He rose again. He's coming for his church, not to the earth, but in the clouds. We will meet him there. And the third part of his coming, you can read about in Revelation chapter 19, when he comes to the earth to defeat Satan, the Antichrist, and the two false beasts. When he comes to defeat them, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right now, we should be looking for him as our Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not about his second coming, not coming here to defeat Satan. That's another whole message. We'll get into that at another time. But Christmas is God's fulfillment of the promise to the Jews that they would be given a perfect sacrifice. They would need no further sacrifices. Jesus, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, was a fulfillment of his promise. Only a few people knew. Think about it. Jesus was born on this earth, and only a few people knew. Shepherds. Who would believe a shepherd? I don't know if you've ever been around a shepherd. Connie and I have when we lived in Turkey. We also saw shepherds in Scotland. But shepherds don't smell so good. Because you see, they can't bathe out there with the sheep. They wear sheepskins for clothing. They're not very highly thought of. They were the only ones that God told that Christmas Eve. They came in and they told others in Bethlehem what they had seen, but I don't believe they were believed. Joseph and Mary couldn't tell anybody. Who would have believed them? But you know what God did? He did it for you. He did it for me. He wrote it down in a book. I like to think of it as a love letter. Each one of us. And so we celebrate this time of year. We don't know exactly when he was born, but we celebrate now what he did over 2,000 years ago. And we can know for sure, because it's written here in this book, that he's coming again. So every time we think of Christmas, we should be thinking about the fact that Jesus could come back at any time. There is nothing to delay except for the will of God. Mary and Joseph couldn't tell anyone. They wouldn't have been believed. But God told us, and God told the world, in one verse, a verse that all of you know, the most popular verse in the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's pray. Father, Thank you. Thank you. That we can meet together here under the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we celebrate his birth, we ask that you will keep our hearts ever tuned to the opportunity of telling others what this really means. And Father, of warning them as a watchman on the wall that he is coming again. And when he comes, it will be too late if they have heard and not responded. So thank you, Father, for giving us opportunity to share with our loved ones the good news. May your will be done in each of our lives this holiday season. For those who are traveling, give them safety. Take them to their destinations and back safely. Father, for those of us who are going to remain here, use us. Bring glory to yourself to fulfill your purpose. And we will praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Tim.